Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, a ministry of ground up grace, where the daily message frees you for forgiven living.
Freedom for forgiven living is grounded at the cross, where Jesus takes all your sins upon himself and gives you, in exchange, his abounding grace. Let's listen together and see where his grace frees us today.
These are the readings for Sunday, the 8th of January. The first one comes from Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to your needy brother and do so without a grudging heart. And the Luke text is the New Testament reading. It's Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Well, this morning we are joined by a number of people around our table, talking about the meaning of these verses and the meaning of what it is to be a giver in the name of Jesus. Dave and Elsa are here, Sonia's sister and brother-in-law, and our friend Paul, who is a pastor from Texas, who has come up for a funeral, has also been staying with us, and he's a part of this community that shares the meaning of giving as it relates to these verses.
The common theme in both of these verses is to give. And we can give, but we can also give with hesitation and caution.
Well, yeah.
Or expecting something in return. Mm-hmm. That's not a generous part of giving.
Our nature is to have is to hold.
Yeah.
To hold on to. Even when you've given me so much, Lord, well, I've got to hang on to this.
I'm not going to have enough, so I'm not going to give generously.
Yeah. How do families who have not been raised, being taught by their parents to tithe and to give that first 10%, how do they ever learn? It's only the work of the Holy Spirit. The best course in financial generosity and in really stewardship, mm-hmm, is, yeah, that I've run across ever, is that Financial Peace University,
yep,
with Dave Ramsey.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of people will say we want to give, but we can't afford it. I mean, holy smokes. He just does such a good job of teaching that. Mm-hmm. There's a woman in our congregation who has asked this question. How do you get people to want to give? And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I think, yeah, prayer, mm-hmm, has to be, mm-hmm, underneath it. And even to know the joy of giving is, I, yeah, guess, what I would want for people. Yep.
The joy of giving, that's right.
And I think that truly is the key, because in thinking about this as well, your comment about only the Holy Spirit can move you to give, I think there are other ways that happens as well. You can shame people into giving.
Yeah.
And I think about, yeah, you know, the red kettles and the bell ringing, and, yeah, how many people would reach into their pocket and pull out a dollar and put it into the,
yeah,
bucket.
Yeah.
Whether it's an afterthought for them, or whether it's, mm-hmm, shaming them into giving, or, you know, they're confronted with the fact that,
yeah,
oh, I'm asking you to give, and so they give. Mm-hmm. Their heart is not in the right place in that instance necessarily. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that many people do give because they want to be generous, but some people are shamed into that, if you would.
Jesus knows the heart of the matter. And, you know, so when he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Yeah.
You know, I'd heard that verse my whole life, but it wasn't until, I don't know, about 10 years ago, just turned and realized, and again, it was Dave Ramsey who said, money is not a financial issue. It's a spiritual issue. Hmm. So if I am undisciplined with anything, in this case money, right, means my heart is undisciplined.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
When Christ, yeah, disciplines my heart, then he opens my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking a little bit about free to serve our neighbor in love, you know, and that freedom to give is really what,
yeah,
we're talking about. Because the giving goes to a neighbor,
that's true,
whom we cannot, yeah, see. So that's part of the freedom in Christ.
that God is calling us to in one way or another. And giving money is one way that we're free to serve our neighbor in love.
Going beyond money, though, there are other ways of giving, mm-hmm. your time or things that you can do, and having the ability to recognize the need that someone else might have, yeah. that you have the ability to yeah. Yeah. to share and to help them. It's amazing. The smallest thing that you might do for somebody else is really appreciated and oftentimes could be really necessary for that person, yeah. even to lift them spiritually.
Yeah. Oh, that's an element that I've understood. People will often write a check to get you off my back. Here's $100. Don't bother me anymore. Yeah. Well, no, I don't really want the $100. I want you. Yeah. No more. Take the money.
Yeah.
You know what Luther said. Every believer must undergo 3 conversions. The conversion of the head, the heart, and the purse. And guess which one we resist the
most.
Hold
on to the purse.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a teacher who grew up, I don't know if it's near Wrigley Field or near a baseball stadium, and he was a baseball fan, and his plan was to graduate from college, get an MBA, and get lifelong season tickets to whether it was the Cleveland Indians or whoever his team was. And then he's almost done with grad school and starts to hear this call from God to be a pastor. Hmm. And he's thinking, I'm a pastor, I'll never be able to afford lifelong season tickets to. Mm-hmm. He becomes a pastor, and then he's apparently fairly good at teaching stewardship, and one of his jobs in his role as director of development for Denver Seminary was to go call on major donors. And so he went to see the owner of the Colorado Rockies, went into his office, and in the first 60 seconds in there, the owner who had given before slides a check across the table to him. Here you go. This guy says, "That's okay. I want to know about you. Thank you, but tell me about your family in here."
Yeah.
And the owner of the Rockies just said, "Nobody ever operates that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They'll just take the money and go."
Right.
And he spent over an hour with this man then, and they became fast friends. The next year, he gets from the owner of the Rockies 4 World Series tickets, wherever the series is, for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after several years, the owner of the Rockies dies. And those tickets now go to Sioux Falls Seminary. Leadership at Sioux Falls just figured, well, that's the end of the tickets. That owner of the Rockies wrote into his will that this man would receive those 4 tickets his whole life, not just...
Well, that's cool.
Mm. Wow. The investment in a person.
Because he said,
so much greater.
I want to
hear about you.
I care about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's powerful.
Wow.
And that's the story behind how I ended up at game 4 of the 2017 World Series.
Okay.
Because it was in Houston.
Mm.
Wow. And I asked, how do we get these tickets? And my friend from Sioux Falls Seminary told me the story.
That's great.
So I want, God wants you and your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We resist that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the direction that this guy took with this calling, you just don't know what's in store for you. Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he took the call, became a pastor, let go of the fact that, there goes my love for baseball and my tickets, and look what he got. You know, God has a plan.
Yeah.
That's what is amazing. Every single day, you don't know.
Yeah.
I say to our kids, God has a plan. Mm-hmm. And we just have to trust that plan. And mm-hmm. You just have to be confident about it. Mm-hmm. Because if you believe it, it will happen. Mm-hmm. There's a plan. Yeah. And it's going to be amazing.
And it probably mm-hmm. will happen even if I don't believe it.
It will. Yeah. But it gives you chills if you believe it.
God's going to have his way with me. Why fight him on it?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we thank these people for joining us today with these wonderful thoughts on giving. Giving generously to your needy brother, and given will be given to you. Here's our prayer for these texts. Giver of all good gifts, I am blessed beyond measure in my bountiful life. Many, however, have great needs. I am sorry for not being more mindful of their situations. Open me to the ways I can be of help. Fill me with the joy of serving. Today, I will find a way to help someone in need. Amen.
This is the first Sunday after Epiphany. The watchword for the week is from Isaiah 42, verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. The hymn selected for today is Hail to the Lord's Anointed. It's by James Montgomery. James Montgomery was born in 1771 in Scotland. His parents were Moravians and his father was a pastor. They were on the mission field in the West Indies when they died, and James was in boarding school at the time. He inherited a very strong passion for missions from his parents, so when he was the editor of a newspaper in Sheffield, he supported missions and spoke out against slavery and any other inequities in society. He served as the editor of this newspaper for 31 years. He supported missions and the British Bible Society his whole life. In all, he published 400 hymns and 11 volumes of poetry. He died in Sheffield in 1854. This hymn is one of his best-known hymns, and also you might recognize Angels from the Realms of Glory. That's also one of his hymns. This hymn is based on Psalm 72. I'll sing two verses of Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Hail to the Lord's Anointed, great David's greater son. Hail in the time appointed, your reign on earth begun. You come to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression and rule in equity. You come with rescue speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy and bid the weak be strong, to give them songs for sighing, their darkness turned to light, whose souls condemned and dying are precious in your sight. Whatever your daily grind may be, know that you are grounded in the grace of Jesus Christ. Yes, I am.